All right. What's going on this week? Oh, we're doing a show.
Oh, yeah. We're on the air.
We're on the air. We're doing a show. Voiceover Body Shop. Coming up, we've got Kevin Leach from IPDTL, or as Anthony Getting likes to say, IPDiddle.
That's right.
IPDiddle.
I've got a package from the NAMM show featuring some of the cool stuff that Maxine and I saw as we walked the floors.
I can't wait to see all this cool new stuff. Mm-hmm. And we've got some great tech questions tonight. Stuff that will just go completely over your head.
We'll
bring it down to your level.
I'll try.
Or even my level. All right, coming up on Voiceover Body Shop. Next.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is Voiceover Body Shop.
Voiceover Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products, Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo, Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now, VO2GoGo.com, and Rehearsal App, and VoiceOverExtra.com, your one stop for voiceover success, and by Edge Studios, find your voice.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. All right, tonight, lots of tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking, we've had personalities on, we've talked about, you know, your voice quality. But tonight, some tech.
We're getting into tech tonight.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
We're going to see what you found at NAMM. We've got Kevin Leach tonight from IPDTL joining us all the way from, I think it's Birmingham.
He'll confirm
what town he's from in jolly old England. We'll talk about IPDTL and you know, studio to studio communication stuff, and your questions. Write them in the chat room. I know we've got Jack Daniel and Anthony are in the chat room tonight, and they are going to relay the questions to us. So if you have a question for us or for Kevin a little later on, throw it in there. But right now.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
All right, for January 23rd, that's the day today, the VoiceOver Extra News, don't flu around. Uh-oh. Have you got the sniffles or something worse? Well, we won't talk about what's going on there. Okay, but even if you haven't been sick yet this year, a bug is lurking just around the corner. So don't flu around. Remember how to protect yourself from germs when you crawl out of your voiceover booth, because they're everywhere. In a new article on VoiceOver Extra, our favorite list maker, Corvo, Dave Courvoisier, offers 10 common sense actions that he figures we're not doing because he says we're human and we don't forget, or we do forget. Still, they're important. Number one, wash your hands often. Don't touch your eyes, your nose, your mouth, or anything on your face until April, unless you've washed your hands. This includes eye rubbing and the like. Three, get a flu shot. Four, avoid small children at all costs. Yeah, good luck with that one. But remember rule number one. 5, stay out of crowds, okay? Another impossibility, of course. But what was rule number one again? 6, if you've got a day job, ask your boss if you could distribute those hand sanitizers or wipes around the workplace. 7, take Airborne or Zicam or some other immune support supplement. There's no scientific proof that this works, says Dave. But guess what? Both of us agree, in our case studies, it's very effective. And more common sense reminders are to wipe down surfaces, eat healthy food, get lots of sleep, and gargle with razor blades. No, and gargle with antimicrobial mouthwash. For example, hydrogen peroxide. Pretty much the same thing. After all that, if you still get sick, you'll at least know you did your best to defend your vocal health. Check out this article and more details, plus hundreds more essential voiceover how-to articles at voiceoverextra.com, your resource for voiceover success.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So you went to NAMM this week. I was going to take my scuba gear and try and get there. It rained all week here in L.A.
I made it to NAMM show, and thanks to Whisper Room, who got us passes because I was denied a media badge.
What?
How dare they?
How dare
they?
Do they
know who I am? Do they know who I am?
Who are you?
no, but I was able to get myself into NAMM and get some good coverage. So we've got a video clip. A little clip reel put together of some of those products. Andrew, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Hey everybody, it's George Whittam reporting for Whittam's World here at NAMM Show, the Winter NAMM Edition 2017 here in Anaheim, California. I'm here to report on the latest gear for audio recording, everything a voice actor would need. None of the bad stuff, all the good stuff. Follow me at hashtag Whittam's World, facebook.com/Whittam's World, and check me out on YouTube. Follow along as I cover this amazing event. Well, look what I stumbled on here at NAMM, a whisper room. This is one of the quietest places you can possibly find at one of the noisiest trade shows I've ever been to. It's a great place to get away from it all. They've got some beautiful whisper rooms here. This looks to be a nice 4x6 enhanced double wall unit. This is actually an MDL 4872E, the enhanced model. This is the one that if you have the space for it and the wherewithal for it, you want to get one of these. But listen what it sounds like when we go outside. What a difference. What a difference a booth makes. Lovely booth from Whisper Room. And we're here today because of Whisper Room. Thanks for Whisper Room. We were able to get access to the show today, including my lovely camera operator, Maxine Dunn, who, if you've watched my Whittam's World videos, you've seen her Whisper Room with the acoustical treatment package in her home. So thanks, Whisper Room, and thank you, Maxine, for operating camera today. Let's get back out there and catch some more cool tech at NAMM 2017. Well, this is one of my favorite halls here. This is Hall E at the NAMM show. This is where some of the more innovative products are, some of the lesser-known brands, and just the more fun experimental stuff, like these things over here, these little cool drum tubes. I mean, there's so much. There's so much cool stuff here, man. I love Hall E at the NAMM show. Let's go see if there's anything cool in here. I know Grace Designs is down here, so let's go check them out. I never, ever miss stopping at the Grace booth. I've known the Grace company for years. My cousin was a fabricator for them. And here is one of the creators of Grace, Michael Grace, showing off some new stuff. How are you doing, Michael?
Very well, thank you.
Good thing you made it out here with the snow. You guys got a break and some of the other guys not so lucky.
Yeah, I was the only one that made it out so far. So we're waiting for the rest of the crew to show up still. Anyway,
what's the preamp that is by far the most popular among the clients of yours that you know are voice actors?
For voice actors?
Yeah, what do you think they've been going for?
That's been, the M101 has been sort of a standard in our line for years and years. As a one-channel preamp, lends itself well to voice talent folks who have the microphone that they love and they just need one channel of microphone preamps.
How much gain can you get out of that sucker?
Up to 60 dB of gain, and then in ribbon mode it goes up to 70. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And in ribbon mode, what's different about it other than just gain?
Well, it's more gain. It's a higher input impedance, which the Ribbon microphone likes, and it also locks out the phantom power, so there's no way that you can accidentally turn on phantom power while your Ribbon microphone is connected.
It's probably be good for like a Shure SM7 or something too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's kind of fun to discover all sorts of low output dynamic microphones. Like, you know, even the old SM57 is a completely different animal when you plug it in to a preamp like that.
Well, thanks a lot for talking to us, man. It's always good seeing you. I'll see you in Colorado one of these days. Hey, it's George Woodham for Woodham's World, and I'm here at an old favorite of mine, a company I discovered here at NAMM probably 7 or 8 years ago, and it's Stage Ninja. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good, man. Well, look, why don't you give us a little tour of some of the products that a voice actor might find useful when they're working from the road or maybe at home in their own studio?
Absolutely. First of all, we have this is what we call the Phone 9 CB or Phone Ninja Clamp, and it is... It's pretty strong. It's a steel clamp. It's got steel spring in it. He felt it. It's pretty strong. This is a universal phone mount, so it can fit, for example, the iPhone 6 Plus with a case. It can fit in there perfectly.
Or it'll hold an LG V20, which is a huge phone.
This isn't going to go anywhere. You can toss this thing around. You can be rough with it, and it's not going anywhere. The clamp will clamp. It'll stay. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere from here. It's not moving from here. And once you move it, it's not moving from the middle. So we also have this right here, which is our what we call a Mic 12 CB. And it's the same kind of thing. It's a steel spring clamp, and it has dual jaws that help it really fit pipes. I know a lot of voice actors might do work in closets or something, and they can use the rods to hang clothes. The dual jaw grips definitely help for that.
Where do you guys sell your products through?
We sell them on Amazon. They're available in every Samash music store. They're available online in several different websites, such as B&H Photo, Musician's Friend, and hopefully more in the future.
Excellent, man. Thanks for showing us your product. George Woodham reporting for Woodham's World, and this is why I come to NAMM, because you stumble on stuff you wouldn't have heard of before, and one of those things is this really cool thing by Isovox, and the guy who's responsible for it standing right here, this is Philip. How you doing, Philip?
I'm fine, thank you.
So tell me the impetus or why you decided to make something like this and why it's different from a lot of other products that are out there.
Yeah, I lived in a concrete apartment like many others, and I quickly discovered that there is no ability to practice and record vocals with studio acoustics if you're living in an apartment with bad acoustics. So I used to drive my car just to practice vocals, and I quickly discovered I gotta have a solution. And that's when the idea struck me, and 4.5 years later, and help from acoustical experts, we took the Isovox to the market, and this is the brand new Isovox 2, which packs a pretty nice new features that I'm going to show you later.
So let's take a look at the business end of this Isovox 2.
Yeah, so this is a brand new feature which we call the photo and video view enabling. You can detach the side. So you can get instant studio pictures and videos when you're standing in there and singing, if you want to make a YouTube video, or why not a selfie, or whatever you want. And then you can have this down, so even if you're standing in an ugly apartment, no one else will see it. It will look like you're on in the studio, and it will sound like you're in a studio. And this is 360 degrees acoustically controlled, and I think no other products offers that. So from back to sides, forward and back, yeah, everywhere, and it will give you a dry, clean, and crisp sound that you only get in a pro studio, but now you can have it in your own home instead.
What's going on back here? Because normally most booths, you know, you just have foam all the way around. Then you have this huge section back here. What's that do?
Yeah, it's our patented solution. So this massively reduces vocal volume, so your neighbors won't be disturbed, and this clears up the voice. So it enhances vocal details, so you'll hear your voice with a proper presentation that you normally only get in a pro studio.
So it's not just like some foam in there. There's multiple layers of stuff going on in there.
Yeah, we worked several years with the development, and we have a patented solution now. It's many different materials that's working together to get an optimized frequency response and reduction. So it will sound good everywhere.
Well, most important thing, where, when, and how much?
In this moment, it is only available in Europe, and the price will be €799. We're working hard to get U.S. retailers, but hopefully at the end of NAMM Show, we'll be offering U.S. customers some stores.
Great. Thanks a lot, Philip. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Congratulations. George from Wyndham's World, and I stumbled on yet another totally new and innovative product, and this is called Smash Mouse. Smash Mouse, well, I don't know what it does. Rob, what does the Smash Mouse do?
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. Smash Mouse allows you to control your digital devices simply by kick it to click it, so you can be hands-free and keep on playing.
Awesome, man. What would be a good way to use Smash Mouse, like, say, in a voiceover booth? What kind of commands might you want to use or control with a Smash Mouse?
It's a great question, George. So one thing, it's a universal pedal, so it can work with basically any software. So like in a recording booth, you might want to use it for simple playback control. Start and stop recording, rewind, fast forward. Let's say, for example, you're in the middle of a voiceover and you're going really good and you get a cough. Well, now you can just kind of click it, and it'll rewind it back 10 seconds scrub, and then you can keep recording so you don't have to stop. Darn it, I screwed up. Go hit a button and come
punch,
back.
Punch and roll.
Punch and roll, exactly, man.
You could also set markers with it while you're recording.
Yeah, so basically we're enabling it, the software, to do whatever you want it to do. You can click in any different direction with your foot on the pedal, and that'll do a command to your software and allow it to do the command you want it to do.
And it also works as a mouse, so you can actually move your pointer around?
It's a fully functioning mouse right now, so you move your mouse pointer 360 degrees, smash click it in the middle for left click. So you plug it in, it works with any Windows and Mac OS system right now.
When's it coming out?
It'll be coming out in spring of 2017. So go to smashmouseusa.com and come on board and kick it and click it.
Right on. Thanks, Rob.
Hey, no, thank you, George, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too. Advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AntlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
Hiya. Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Voiceover Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about you.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Hey, everybody. Source Connect is our sponsor for the show. They sponsor every show. Made by Source Elements, if you want to try out software that allows you to connect from studio to studio, one that's been around for a long time, pushing 10 years now, you might want to check out Source Connect. Source Connect is a software for joining studios together, audio in real time. It's an application that can run either standalone or it can operate as a plugin for whatever DAW you're using, from Pro Tools to you can use it with Logic or Adobe Audition. If you want to use it standalone, it works a lot like Skype. Perhaps you've heard of Skype, and allows you to connect your audio hardware to and from your software and connect to other studios all around the world. SourceConnect's been probably one of the heir apparents to ISDN for those using ISDN. For people that want a backup for their ISDN systems, SourceConnect has been adopted by many major studios and some of the big broadcast networks in the U.S. You might want to give it a shot. If you want to get a free 15-day trial, you can go to source-elements.com, sign up for a trial, give it a shot. And you don't have to have an iLock to start using SourceConnect right away. Give it a shot. Thanks for sponsoring us, and we'll be right back with Kevin.
This is John Bailey, the Epic Voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
VOBS is still on? Seriously?
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some voiceover with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
And we are back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS, as people like to call it, like us.
Some weeks more than others.
Definitely other weeks have been a little more trying than others. But so far, everything's working just great. Tonight we've got a bunch of tech questions. It's a tech night. We've got Kevin Leach will be joining us in just a couple of minutes to talk about IPDTL.
That's right.
But let's go over some of the questions that have been sent to us this week, starting with Gary Hetzler's.
That's right.
I'm going to read the question, and then you're going to explain it. What is the meaning of impedance difference in ohm rates, and how does it affect our critical listening, that's the important part, as we monitor our voiceover during editing or during editing? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be wearing headphones while you're recording, kids. All right. For instance, Behr Dynamic Pro DT770 headphones come in an array of impedance ohm options, 250, 80, nominal, 80, and 32. What is supposed to be the best for our needs? You're on.
Well, let me give you the short answer, the best way that I know, and that's what happens if you have a lot of headphones plugged into one amplifier. What happens is the amplifier has to be able to handle the load on that amplifier. And the more devices that are plugged into that amplifier, the heavier the load. If the headphones are high impedance, 250, and actually Behr Dynamic DT770s even come in 600 ohm versions, that basically means you can plug a whole lot of these headphones into one amplifier without having to worry about overloading the amplifier and having it go into protect mode or overheat and die. So in big recording studios, let's say you're recording a whole band or even an orchestra, they might have a pair of headphones on every single artist in that room. It could be 80 headphones. So to be able to drive a lot of headphones from one amplifier, they have to be high impedance. I'm not going to get into the exact details as to why that is, but basically each pair of headphones that you add lowers the impedance that the amplifier sees and then raises the load on the amplifier so it has to work harder. It's kind of like first you can pull two kids on a wagon, you can pull four kids on a wagon, you can pull 40 kids on a wagon, but you can only pull them 40 kids on a wagon if they have really, really slippery wheels, lots of grease. So that's kind of the breakdown of it. But it does actually change the way the headphones sound a little bit depending on the impedance. There is an article that explains this pretty well. I did a little research before the show, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's
Please.
Really kind of
it'll it goes really make on your head and on
numb.
And on.
But I promise to put a link to it in the show notes. It's from head-fi.org, and there is an article I found with a really good comment from somebody that seems to understand the theory of how these things work. But the long and the short of it is, if you've got a cheap amplifier, let's say the one built into a cell phone, a mobile phone,
yep.
or something like that, you want low impedance headphones.
Right.
If you've got a really good amplifier, something built into a mixing console for professional use, or a good headphone amp that's designed to do nothing but amplify headphones, you can use higher impedance headphones. And higher impedance headphones generally stay more accurate over the entire frequency range.
Really?
Whereas lower impedance headphones can get a little less accurate, maybe a little bit more bass heavy, depending on the amp that's plugged into. If you want more description, I guarantee the show note link we provide for you will give you more detail on that.
Read that. All right. From Larson Bennett. Subject, room treatment. A couple of things on room treatment here. Dan and George, I once heard Bo Weaver describe using a quality microphone in a small dead booth as sounding as if a wet washcloth had been wrapped around the mic. I've noticed that some of the top professional studios have larger recording spaces. For this reason, I have decided to use a 10 by 12 bedroom as my space and treat it acoustically. It's going to cost them a few more bucks to do that than, say, a small booth.
Yeah.
Because I subscribe to Bo's notion that a room can be too small and dead. I'm looking into, or because he subscribes to that, I'm looking into adding a couple of something called quadratic diffusers as part of the treatment of my space. What are your thoughts on that? How do I donate to your show? Well, that's a real easy thing. Right up here, if you're watching the show, there's a donate now button. Click right there, Larson.
Moving on.
Yes. Okay. No. Big room, little room.
Big rooms tend to sound more, I guess, for lack of a better word, natural.
Or alive, maybe?
Or alive, because we tend to talk to each other and exist in larger rooms.
This is true.
We don't tend to spend a lot of times talking in really, really small rooms.
Right.
So it seems a little unnatural to us, especially if you're narrating without headphones on. It can seem very unnatural in a very small space, because now you've got the sound from your voice is being sucked away by all the absorption in there.
Right.
I learned a little bit from one of the vendors at NAMM about a little bit about diffusion. I actually talked to somebody from GIK Acoustics. They're in Atlanta. About using diffusion. Now, I don't know about your specific design of diffusion. There's a lot of different designs. But basically, in really small spaces, diffusion panels are not that useful. They really only work in larger spaces. So in a bigger room like yours, a 10 by 12, if you're going to use diffusers, put them far away from the microphone. You want the diffusers to be at the furthest end from the room from your microphone or right. your sound source.
Right.
The areas closest to the mic, you want to have the most dry, most absorbing, and the most dead. That's a rule of thumb. But diffusers are fun to experiment with. The cheapest diffuser everybody has is probably a bookshelf full of books.
And then they work fabulous.
Yeah, because if you have a bookshelf sitting in the room full of different little books, all different sizes,
right.
sound scatters off all right. those little yeah. books. And, and
but not underneath the shelf.
No, no. Yeah. And anything that's close to the mic within maybe 2 to 3 feet
yeah.
should be dead, should right. be really absorbing.
Right.
Further away, you can start experimenting with diffusers. The whole idea being that instead of sucking the sound away, it scatters the sound
right.
in a million different random directions, creating yeah. a very nice open sound.
Right. Now, I know Bo likes interesting materials in his booth.
Yeah, he's like, got like he's stone got, face.
He's got a brick wall in there yeah, yeah. and a wood floor, and those are things that just sound natural.
But, you know, it took them a while to tune that booth.
Did it?
If you ask Bo, it was not like a get in, get out kind of thing. That was an ongoing, it took him a while to tune it and get the sound that he wanted.
Okay.
It's not easy. It's an experimental thing that takes a while, but
yeah.
why not? It's fun to experiment with these kind of things.
Right. But if you don't have a big room that you can use, there's always the closet.
Closet with bass traps.
Yes. Big bass traps.
Bob Glavin knows. He's in our audience. He has a very small
closet. Let's get a shot of the audience
and
here.
We have a bass trap.
Wave.
In that studio. And in Bob's studio with that big bass trap that takes up a big chunk of the space. As small as it is, it sounds really tight, really, really good.
Okay, cool. All right, follow-up from last week.
Yes.
As you recall, Ben Schekelhoff sent us a question about acoustic panels, but he didn't send us a file.
Mm.
So this week, he actually sent us a sound file.
That helps a lot.
Yeah, so let's play these sound files. The first one is before he puts the all the panels up and or rearranges them. And then the second one, he's closer to the mic, which I think actually answers the question better. So okay. roll a little bit of...
Another's errors on one shoulders. Each man lived his own life and paid his own price for living it. The only pity was one had to pay so often for a single fault.
It's playing. Hang
on. One had to pay over and over again, indeed.
Okay.
In her dealings with man, destiny never closed her accounts.
Okay.
So from a further distance away... It gets a little echoey, a little diffuse.
It sounds like he's
Dorian
in a
Gray
a
hurried
distant.
Along the key yeah. through the drizzling
yeah,
rain.
Yeah, sort of boothy sounding. All right, play 102 there. This is, he's got to get a little closer to the mic now.
Basil Hallward looking at him. Yet he felt he could not stay. The presence of Adrian Singleton doubled him. He wanted to be where no one would know who he was.
Is that the end of the roll?
Dorian winced and looked around at the grotesque things that lay in such fantastic postures on the ragged mattress. The twisted limbs, the gaping mouths, the staring, lustless eyes fascinated him. He knew in what strange heavens they were suffering and what...
Okay. So I think what we learned from that was that we had a few variables involved, right?
Right.
The first clip, the acoustical panels were in one arrangement. The second one, they were in a different arrangement?
No. What he did in the second one is he was talking closer to the mic.
Oh, so that was the only thing that he changed between those two clips.
Yeah. I don't think he had enough panels in there. I think that it really, you know, they weren't really working the way they should because he was too far from the mic.
Yeah.
And I think and I think a lot of people make this mistake where a lot of acoustical problems are caused by people talking too loud. They're too far from the mic. They start talking louder. It tends to reverberate through the room more. If you talk quietly at a normal conversational tone, it doesn't project out as much unless you hit your microphone.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I mean, even in a small or medium-sized room with acoustical panels scattered about, the further you get away from the mic, the more energy is still allowed to, even with a bunch of paneling up, there's still some energy that's going to still bounce around the room. So when the mic's further away, it still hears more of the reflected sound, less of the direct sound. You want to change the ratio of direct to reflected sound, get closer to the mic.
5 to 7 inches.
Yeah.
About like that.
In worst case scenarios, I've even had people get as close as a fist away to try to deal with a bad acoustic issue.
Right. But not directly into there. Okay. Mm-hmm. How's that for a lot of tech stuff?
Yee-hoo.
All right. Kevin Leach is sitting patiently by an entire ocean away in Manchester, England, and we'll be talking with him about IPDTL right after this.
Wow. This is VOBS?
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
All righty. I'm still hearing me. Hello, hello. You know, VO2GoGo has a brand new free class you can take right now that will help you create a more successful, satisfying, and profitable voiceover career. That's right. It's called the VoiceOver Booking Blueprint. And you can get it by going to VO2, that's the number 2, gogo.com, and clicking on the extraordinarily large red button at the top of the page. David H. Lawrence, the 17th, wanted to make sure you got there and clicked the right button. Now, David is covering some very interesting core strategies to help you. If you're just getting started out on your voiceover journey, or if you're already on your way and you just want to make sure the treasure map is still valid. All righty. It's the VO2GoGo VO Booking Blueprint, and it's free at VO2GoGo.com. Also, are you a Rehearsal.pro user? a rehearsal pro user. The app for actors and voiceover talent is looking for users who'd like to participate in the beta testing of the new feature for the app, the ability to offer your services as a reader for other actors. That's pretty important.
It's that's interesting.
What about my lines? I got to make something up. Maybe you can read for somebody else. The rehearsal reader community will roll out later this year, and we'd love to let you bang on it to make it sound spectacular. Send an email noting your interest to davidlawrence@gmail.com. If you're not yet a Rehearsal Pro user, pop over to rehearsal.pro/download and get your copy today. That's rehearsal.pro/download. Be off the book. Book more work with Rehearsal Pro.
You're listening to VOBS.
Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days. VOBS is still on? Seriously?
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Welcome back to VoiceOver Body Shop. Time for our special guest tonight, joining us from far, far, far away. Was it zero GMT? I mean, it's not the middle of the night. It's like early morning in Manchester, UK. Welcome, Kevin Leach, the founder of IPDTL. Kevin, welcome.
Hello. It's a pleasure, after all this time, to join you again, because it's been ages, years, months. At least
months and years, yes.
Now, since probably like within the first year of the development of IPDTL, right? Or IPDTL.
Yeah, I think it was fairly new in those days. I mean, it's still fairly new. What are we on now? We had our third anniversary back in the fall of last year, so it still feels very new, to be honest. And when we look back at what it looked like in those early days, it's certainly come a long way.
Absolutely. What was your inspiration to create this?
It was the need from a radio, contribution perspective. So when I was working for the BBC, it was the requirement to find a better way to contribute to radio programs than scratchy telephone lines or Skype or FaceTime, which was never very reliable, and the ongoing slow and painful death of ISDN. I was trying to find something that we could put in contributors' homes to contribute to radio programs, and kind of stumbled upon the WebRTC framework that's behind IPDTL.
Yes, so it was designed primarily for broadcasting, so that people could do remotes, or if they were interviewing somebody from afar or something along those lines. How did it develop into a voiceover tool? What took you there?
It happened quite quickly, really, because as soon as we had built it, and it was all very experimental, and we put it out there to the broadcast industry, and then I honestly can't remember which way it went, whether a VO got in touch and said this might be useful for us, or whether it was the other way around that we thought, well, we might as well offer this to voiceovers as well. I'm pretty sure I had an inkling that it might be useful for the voice production community, and it seems to have been so.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what went into its development. I mean, technically, even George isn't going to understand that.
Heck no.
Okay. Tell us a little bit non-technically what it took to develop this.
As I say, a lot of the framework was already in place. Google and the browser development teams from Mozilla and Google mostly, Google were the main player, put a lot of development into the browsers into Google Chrome, etc. And we saw the possibility from that we could turn their what's called real-time communication framework that they built into the browser, that we could tweak that and use it for professional audio contribution in real time. So We got to work on that and learned very quickly what it would take to do so. We launched IBDTL in 3 weeks from my first communication with Thomas, who is the developer behind IBDTL and is now an integral part of our team, to putting out the first version of IBDTL was 3 weeks. It's remarkable now because it takes us months to come up with.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is impressive.
But we very quickly learned what it would take to make it, and then set about making a very crude version of IBDTL, and it's just gone from there. Really.
Is it because you were developing something for the web that was built on a web platform that you could have such a rapid development and deployment? I mean, if this was a standard application, it would have taken months, right?
Yeah, quite. The beauty of a web product is, I mean, if you like, it never has to be ready. It never has to be finished because you can keep tweaking the little things. Whenever we do an update, there's always more stuff that we'd like to put in it, but there are never enough hours in the day, and we never get all the stuff done that we want to do. And there are always little glitches and bugs across IBDTL.com, which we're getting better at finding and fixing all the time. But the beauty of it not being a product that you ship out or that somebody downloads is that we can tweak it on a daily basis if we need to. And as you say, it's easier to get something out quickly or to fix something quickly. And of course, you know, there's no hardware involved. It had to be cost effective was one of the stipulations when we were putting together IBDTL in the first place. It couldn't need expensive bespoke hardware. So it uses your existing computer, it uses your existing microphone and audio interface and headphones, and you've got an internet connection, right? So you've already got everything other than what we built into the web browser.
Yeah. Now, of course, the problem is that ISDN just won't die. We keep hoping it will one of these days. You know, they're going to rip out the copper all here in the United States. It's getting expensive. So a lot of different alternatives have come up, and IPDTL is one of them. How is it that, you know, how do you get people to want to try it? What sort of strategies have you used? And tell us a little bit about how successful you've been at getting a lot of different types of people to try it, broadcasters and voiceover.
I think the main thing is the cost and the ease of implementation. We've got a day pass now, which you can sign up to for 24 hours. You just go online, you click on Get IPDTL from the homepage, where you select day pass and click Get IPDTL. And for $15, you get access to IPDTL for 24 hours. And that includes the ability to dial an ISDN line or receive an ISDN call and to do a phone patch connection. Wow. So for the sake of, it's a worst case scenario, it's a $15 gamble that if for whatever reason it doesn't work for you, then you haven't been out and made a grand purchase decision. You haven't committed a lot of your budget to something new and expensive. So that's a kind of an easy sell, if you like. We really just say try it and see for yourself.
Right.
Rather than sit and try and explain it, which we will talk to people on the phone if necessary or have long email exchanges. But really, the easiest way to sell IBDTL is say, try it and see if it works for you. It's interesting that you talk about ISDN there, because we're now in this weird situation where we really wanted ISDN to die because our business model would benefit from the fast demise of IBDTL. And now we're in this crazy situation where because we've made IBDTL backwards compatible with IBDTL, and you can dial an ISDN line from it, you can make an ISDN call from within IBDTL. We now need ISDN. We need the ISDN lines that we have to continue to offer that service, and we're currently looking at expanding our ISDN lines. We've got ISDN lines in Denver, Colorado currently, and we're looking currently at getting some extra lines in LA just to offer that diversity. But of course, as everybody who's ever tried to get an ISDN line installed knows, it's not an easy thing to provision, and once you've got it, hanging on to it is also a job in itself. So we're now in a situation we want to hang on to our ICN lines as much as everybody else does.
Yeah. So the thing is trying to convince people who we would talk to, people that we're doing business with. If we're doing a remote session with somebody, we're like, you got to have ISDN. Well, okay. So legitimately, if you have something like IPDTL where you can dial in, and is it two SPIDs coming? You get two, and or how exactly is that arranged? How do you communicate back and forth?
Yeah, the easiest way to connect an ISDN from IPDTL is to do an outgoing call, because the limitation is that, we don't have endless SPIDs, we don't have endless numbers, so we can't allocate your own dedicated numbers to you, so therefore they will change. If somebody wants to dial you into IPDTL, they can, but we'll generate numbers, or IPDTL will generate numbers for you every time.
Right.
You need to receive an incoming call. So therefore dialing out is much easier,
right.
and you can choose. I mean, if it's for a radio contribution that uses a single channel ISDN call like G722, for instance, then you set IPDTL to make a G72 call, and you just put the one number or SPID in. As we know, as you may know, in the voice acting world, that most voice sessions use MPEG Layer 2, which is the standard setting for an ISDN voice call. So, and that requires two ISDN channels, and as you say, two numbers. So you put both numbers into IPDTL, and it makes the call, which lands at the other end like any other ISDN call. The distinction, by the way, for some unknown reason, is that in over your side of the pond in North America, voice sessions tend to use layer 2 mono 1-8, whereas over here in Europe, they tend to use layer 2 1-8 joint stereo,
right.
Which is a subtle distinction, but if there are people watching over in Europe, then it's worth knowing that there is a difference there.
Sure, be different. Okay.
But we're the different ones.
Okay. I guess. So it's a matter of convincing the users, the end users, the people at the other end to use this, and whether they're using, whether they have IPDTL installed or they can use it. You just send them a link, right? And they can hook right into it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You never really install IPDTL.
Right.
When you first log in, then the website will ask you to allow access to your microphone or your interface that your microphone's connected to. But after that first time, it will remember it. You can tell the browser to remember your username and password as well. So, yes, you can set up your computer and your browser to be set to use IPDTL, but you're not really downloading or installing anything. So you could, if you buy a day pass, you can be up and running in 60 seconds if you're lucky, but 5 minutes if you're not.
Well,
10 hours if you're really unlucky.
You know how this technology goes. You always have to have something new to kind of drive things forward, get people interested. What kind of new features have you been rolling out, and are a lot of those requests from your users?
Yeah, we've been asked for a long time now, can I connect to more than one person at a time? Traditionally, IPDTL connected from your location to another remote location, whereas now you can connect from your location to two or three or four remote locations, which is something that I know Source Connect now has had for some time. And we've enhanced the mixer to allow you not only to do that, but also to record the both sides of the audio. Traditionally, you could only record your outgoing audio easily. Now, if you click record in IPDTL, as well as recording your outgoing audio, it also records the incoming audio, which is useful for small-time producers, for instance, for any time that you want to be able to capture the incoming audio, or a studio wants to be able to capture the incoming audio from you. You click record in IPDTL, and it will record the entire conversation. But going back to what I was talking about, the multi-parties, you could now, from your IPDTL instance, connect to, say, one person on their computer using IPDTL's Link Plus feature you could connect to at the same time, another person using making an ISDN call, and then you can make a third call out on PhonePatch, for instance. So you've got three different connections there, and you've got them all managed within your own IPDTL screen, and you can balance the levels as well in IPDTL's virtual mixer and mute them or unmute them as required. So it's really quite powerful.
That is crazy. I mean, that is really amazing. But I mean, I've seen this thing happen time and time again, where we have what they call feature creep. And, you know, more and more features makes it more complicated, more things to go wrong. And some voice actors are, when they see this eight fader mixer interface, which is incredible. I mean, the flexibility is amazing.
I'm only one voice.
Their heads are going to explode. So what have you done to make it a little bit more simplified for someone that just has one mic, one producer, one connection?
Yeah, overall, I will say that IPDTL now, we now receive far fewer support requests than we did a year ago or 18 months ago. We get very few emails now from people saying, how does it work? Can you explain? The website's confusing, that kind of thing. And yeah, we did get a lot of those messages early in the day. Now, on a day-to-day basis, we don't get many support requests. It's only if there's some weird incompatibility issue, for instance, with somebody's particular audio interface, or someone's having trouble with their internet connection, they might get in touch with us. So overall, we've put an awful lot of effort into making the whole thing far more intuitive.
That's good.
From the signing up on the website to when you log in and you get a guided tour, so you can go through the features, and having little help links throughout the site as well, so that, you know, people say, is there a manual? Well, my answer is that the site is the manual, that you can find out what each feature does by clicking the little help icons in the page. And we've tried to improve our FAQs and things as well. To answer your question about the size of the mixer, if you have a gold subscription, then you do have access to this big long mixer with many faders and a rather complex routing structure as well, like a routing matrix, so you can send audio to and from various sources, but you can choose who you do and don't send audio to. However, all of that, as you say, is and sounds, and here we go, we can see it on the screen now, all of this seems is and sounds very complex. If at the top of the page you go to the little drop down selector where it says there's various options such as advanced and standard, there's an option there which says simple. If you select simple, then you get a basic little audio mixer which just has one fader for your microphone and one fader for your headphones, and so you can adjust the level. Here we go, you can see it now.
Andrew is recropping the shot. It's a little challenging to do it on the fly, but there's the simple view, and if I drop down, you may not see the drop down, but it is up there.
If I go to standard view,
it's
just a little bit
you can
up.
See the more complex mixer, which has more.
So that's kind of the middle one that you're seeing there, is the standard mixer, as we now call it, which gives you two remote sources. There's a massively complicated one that takes up the whole screen for gold subscribers. And then, if you go to simple, you just get a couple of faders for your microphone and your headphones. And actually, there we go. We can see it.
Well done.
Can see it on the screen now. What does that say in the middle? I really should know this, but it's a while since I've looked at it. What's it say on that middle fader? I can't quite see it.
The middle fader says, in tiny letters, remote. So it says, right. Default is the left one, remote's the far end, and then default meter.
It just goes to show how much of a massive beast this product has come out in. There are elements of it that I don't see on a day-to-day basis now. From left to right there, you have your microphone, and we'll see it again in a second. You have your microphone on the left, on the view that we were seeing. That's fine. So, on the left there, the red one is your level. The middle one is the remote level, the person that you're connected to, maybe the contributing studio. And the far right one there is the mixed output into your headphones.
Gotcha.
That's
simple.
Generally wouldn't actually include your own voice, but we won't go too far into that right now.
Yeah.
It's a lot simpler than what it used to be. I remember it was, you know, it was kind of complex, and you're thinking, how do I do this through software? But it's really cool that you've been able to simplify.
Here's
this.
The gold mixer.
Oh my goodness!
Because I have the preview showing the fully loaded version. This sucker looks like
just
a real
over here, and
this looks like a production board. I mean, you've got busing, all sorts of busing routing capability. I mean, that is amazing. That is amazing.
A producer, or as I say, a small time producer, or you want to get more involved in more complex audio routing, then that's definitely worth a look. You can do all sorts as to deciding what you do and don't send to both your own local outputs and also the various locations that you're sent to. So yeah, it's a powerful tool now.
We're throwing Andrew all kinds of production curveballs here, so bear with us. But,
there we go. Yeah, looks like you'd lost a little weight there.
Well done, sir.
Yes.
But yeah, man, I'm really impressed how you've managed to find out how to make the software more extensible, more complex, and at the same time be something to people that need something simple.
Something for everybody.
Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah. So if you've got a question for Kevin Leach about IPDTL or any of these voiceover internet studio to studio things, chat room is there, and you can type it in. And I know Jack Daniel and Antony are in there tonight, and they'll be relaying those questions to us. Subscriptions. You were talking about the different color subscriptions, and explain, you know, the pricing on that and what the difference is between the different plans.
Yeah, we've tried to simplify it now by just saying bronze, silver, gold. And the way we split those is that bronze is geared towards podcasters and radio contributions. Silver is aimed at voice talent, and gold is aimed at production studios or anybody who wants to use video. With gold, you get the ability to send video as well. So really, silver is where you want to be aiming as a voice talent, and that's $160 per year for a silver subscription for one login ID for yourself. If you want to add the Link Plus feature, which is what allows anybody to connect to you on their computer without them having to be an IPDTL subscriber, then you double that cost to $320 per year. But as I say, if you're only going to use it once in a while, or you want to have a play around with it, then get a day pass for $15, and that includes all of the features for $15. So it's kind of a no-brainer if you want to dip your toe into the IPDTL pot, if you like. Then there are additional options for we call them Tel and Tel Plus, which are the options for dialing and receiving ISDN calls. Tel will allow you to receive ISDN calls and to make phone patch calls, and Tel Plus will allow you to also make outgoing ISDN calls. The reason that costs a bit more is because there are the traditional long distance ISDN call costs, which are unavoidable. So even if it's always a long distance call, if you like, from IPDTL. Even if you're in LA and the person you're calling is in LA, it's got to go through our kit. So that's why there's an additional cost for outgoing ISDN calls.
Yeah. But if you have IPDTL, you can tell people you have ISDN, essentially.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a lot of question about how honest it is to say, yes, I have ISDN when you're using IPDTL. And then there's the question of, okay, well, what are your SPIDs then? You say, well, I'll give you the SPIDs tomorrow. So, I mean, I think the more people use it, then the more accepted it will be anyway.
Right.
I suppose it's about how you phrase it. If you say, I have ISDN access, or I have the ability to make an ISDN call, then you're not deceiving anybody.
Very good. All righty, well, we're going to take a break. If you've got a question for Kevin Leach about IPDTL, again, throw it in the chat room, and we'll answer some of those questions after we take this break. So we'll be right back here on Voice Over Body Shop. Don't go away.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career.
We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
One of our favorite guys in the entire world is Harlan Hogan. Why? Because he's just a nice guy. But we also love him because he has the best site to get your voiceover equipment on the internet, bar none. And there's a lot of good reasons for that. One, he designs some of his own stuff and presents it there, like the Portabooth Pro, the Portabooth Plus, the Portabooth, the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones. See, now you can see over there where Andrew is my hand going there? Okay, good. I'm lost in the website. The carrying case for the Plus is really, really nice. Easy to throw into a luggage rack in a plane and take it wherever you want. And it sounds really good. Once you get the technique of using it properly, it's a fabulous apparatus for taking on the road and carrying all your stuff in it. As I like to say, your underwear can fit in it, your cables, all that stuff.
I think that's cool about it. You can shove things. It's made of foam.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's a road case.
Right. You just take your computer, shove it in there.
Slip it in there.
Slip it in there. And you're cool. It's fabulous. So if you want to get one of those, all you have to do is go over to voiceoveressentials.com. The best way to get there is to go to the bottom of the page. Down there somewhere.
Down
there. Yeah, and you'll see a picture of Harlan talking into a Porto booth, and that will take you right to his site, and you can order that. He caught you.
Porto booth.
He
said Porto booth.
Porto booth.
Porta booth.
Porta booth. That's what
not
I said.
Porto booth.
Porta booth. Depends on what part of the country you're from.
I say tomato.
And yeah,
looking out for you, Howard.
Let's just not call the whole thing off, though. It's a porta booth, and it is available at voiceoveressentials.com. But he has announced that the first of the month,
something new
is coming out.
Ooh.
And we're going to get to try it. So hopefully it'll get here at the first of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll check it out over at voiceoveressentials.com. Go over there, buy his stuff. Tell him we sent you. All right. We'll get those questions with Kevin Leach right after this.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days.
All right, in our porta booth here. We're talking with Kevin Leach. Kevin, you're going to be at VoiceOver Atlanta, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. The world and his dog is going to be at VoiceOver Atlanta.
You're bringing your dog? All right.
it's going to be great, yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it. IPDTL is one of the platinum sponsors along with Edge Studio this year. And one of the highlights of the weekend, at least in my mind, is going to be the Saturday night party, which is the IPDTL 1930s swing dance party.
Oh boy!
Which we're hosting, and we've got a live jazz band booked, and I'm even going to give you a little taster into one of my hobbies, which is we're going to do a little taster class into how to dance 1930s style.
Oh boy! Oh, we get to do the Lindy Hop and some
exactly
of the other
exactly that, you know it.
Yeah. Oh, I know what it is.
I expect to see you on the dance floor.
Yes, I remember from our wedding, we're going to take Lindy Hop lessons. No, we're not. But we did. And anyway, but George and I are going to be there too.
Yeah,
we are going to be there. We're going to be doing a presentation on the mythology of VoiceOver Home Studios. You know, we're going to take an axe and get rid of some of all those mythological things that, you know, people talk about and tend to group source on the internet. And we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, and we'll just be covering the event in general. We'll be, if you can't make it there, there's going to be a lot of content online, I think, that we're going to be
something
putting
like
out there.
Right,
so.
But we're also going to be the video hosts at the conference. And I know Gerald has got a network that's going to be broadcasting this stuff out, in the hotel and on the internet. And so If you're not going yet, I think it's like 530 people are going to be. This is going to be a massive event. Jeez. So check out VoiceOver Atlanta, and maybe you'll join us there and join the party.
VOAtlanta.me.
.me. All righty. Well, okay. Well, we've got a few questions from our huge audience out there. Just an immense amount of people watching the show tonight, which we love. First is from the one and only Anthony Gettig, who says, first, thank you for such an excellent product. I use it frequently. Other than recording in the IPDTL interface, what is the best way for someone to record an IPDTL session, or is the IPDTL recording ability the preferred method?
It's me, sorry.
Recording in the browser. It's very difficult to offer too much advice on how to, because, and we get asked this quite a lot, you know, how do I record? We get asked it less now that we have the ability in the browser. It's really difficult to say you do A, B, and C, because we don't know what hardware you have or what software you're running or what version of Windows or OS X or whatever you're running, what plugins you're using, what third-party audio recording software you're using. So it's kind of, there's no easy answer. I like to do everything old school. I like the idea of thinking, and I know, George, you wrote a blog on this a while ago. I like the idea of thinking of IPDTL old school, like it's an ISDN codec, and you take the wires out of that computer and you plug them into your audio board, and then you feed your other computer, your recording computer, in and out of that board. So you think of it as two separate things, rather than trying to feed the audio from one bit of software in a computer into another bit of software in the computer, which is where everything always gets really fiddly because there are no physical wires to look at.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I like to think about it, because sometimes routing audio is a lot harder than you might think it is within a computer environment. So sometimes it just makes sense to go physical.
Yeah.
Cables.
There's also, for Pro Tools users, Source Nexus from Source Elements is great for linking bits of software together.
Yeah, that's a utility that is flexible because it can work with IPDiddle. How do you feel about this, calling it IPDiddle, Kevin?
Call it anything you like.
just don't call it Wait for Dinner.
I like it. It's cute.
You can use it with IPDTL. You can use it with any other system that needs you to route audio from A to B. That's the source link tool is pretty useful for that. Did we answer it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
All right, but Anthony had another question there.
Okay, I'll get that one. Anthony also says, I use the ISDN bridging regularly. Are dedicated ISDN numbers for subscribers of IPDTL a feature in the works? Maybe with DID numbers or something similar. Ooh, that's really geeky. That's even geeky. I don't even know what the heck he's talking about.
Anthony is an IT guy.
Yes, he is. What are DID numbers? Do you know what he's talking about, Kevin?
Yeah, I can't remember what DID stands for, but it's to do with how... DIDs are, from the top of my head, are like extension numbers, if you like. So if a telecoms provider gives you a range of numbers that all land on the same bit of kit, and in a switchboard sense, you redirect them. I mean, the short answer is no. Getting any kind of ISDN circuits is proving more and more difficult, and trying to get them with any clever features, such as a range of numbers that we can switch onto different bits of kit, is not something that we've managed to achieve. We'll continue to look at it, but it's not something that we've come across a solution for at this stage.
Anthony clarifies that DID stands for direct inward dial. That's what it stands
for. In case you were wondering. The very lucky Bev Standing asks, and this is I think for the majority of our audience, this is probably a good question to ask. What's the one thing you can say as a voice talent to a sound engineer in a studio who doesn't know about IPDTL?
Yeah, there's a simple answer there, and the thing is to say is, have you got 5 minutes? Let's give it a go. And if you either have a day pass, which, and the day pass, by the way, will allow two seats if you like, so it will allow you to log in using the day pass at your end, and you can send the link, the URL for the pass to a studio and they can use that to connect with you. If you are an IPDTL subscriber and you have the Link Plus feature, then the easiest thing to do is send them your link and say, right, put this into your Chrome web browser on your computer and let's give it a go and see how it sounds. It's, you know, it's an easy sell. Normally, that, the difficult bit is finding the time and convincing a studio engineer to go to their computer and actually give it a try. When they do, it's normally a kind of wow moment of, great, right, let's start using this.
Bev Standing has a question that's sort of been answered, but basically, do people on the other end need to know that you are using IPDTL's ISDN feature, or do they believe it is a straight ISDN call? I think from a functional standpoint, they see it and it sounds like a standard ISDN call. I think what you said was the only thing that may make it distinguish is that you don't know what these SPIDs are until the moment you make the session. Is that right?
Exactly that. And right. You can do it kind of 10 minutes before, you know, you can prime IPDTL 10 minutes before so that you get those numbers. So you could blast them off in an email just before the session.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of studios want to get the ISDN numbers, the SPIDs the day before. And that's not possible with IPDTL. So that's the only thing that's standing in the way, really. And I mean, I think honest is the best policy in these situations.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, tell the studio what you're doing and offer to dial out to them. You know, say that you'll save them the cost of the call, and then you don't have that last minute thing about scrambling to pass numbers on.
Yeah, right. How can they argue with you wanting to dial them? I mean, how can they argue with that?
They always want you to dial them.
I would think so.
Yeah, it's geez. Like, we're not paying for ISDN. Okay, we'll call it into you. Yeah. What about latency? I'm trying to remember if you talked about that at all, but, you know, what's the way, how much latency have you been experiencing, or is it insignificant, you know, when you're usually on, you know, on a call, on ISDN, sometimes there's latency, but what about with IPDTL? What are you trying to get it down to time-wise?
It's you can hold a conversation more so than you can on an ISDN call. You know, the on our ISDN bridging. So if you make an ISDN call from IPDTL out to an ISDN line, the bit that takes the time, the bit that has the most latency, is the MPEG ISDN call part of it. The IP part from you to our server is minimal. You're talking a few hundred milliseconds tops,
right,
depending on your location. So IPDTL in itself in a vanilla form, if you're connecting from browser to browser, you should see no more than a few hundred milliseconds, which you can hold the conversation across, and you only really notice if the other person's got their loudspeakers on or whatever, or their headphones are loud, so that you hear your voice coming back slightly delayed. But it's the latency on native IPDTL from browser to browser is tiny. Add the ISDN call, and to be honest, you won't notice a lot of difference between a normal ISDN call and if you're doing it through IPDTL. It kind of depends on location. If you're on the East Coast and the other person's on the West Coast, then there's going to be a little bit more, but actually, that's a bad example. I'm gonna stop there, otherwise I'll confuse myself. Distances will play a part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Devox.
He has a lot of questions.
Always does.
He always has good questions. Yeah. This one's kind of interesting. Only a Chrome browser, which using the Opus codec with on the Chrome browser. Can you use any other browsers?
Opera now is very similar to Chrome in its makeup, and so yeah, the Opera browser is fully compatible with IPDTL. If you happen to be Russian or have a liking for Russian software, Yandex, the Russian search engine, have a version of it of the Chromium browser, which is very similar to Chrome. It's called the Yandex browser, and it will work with that if for whatever reason you have a problem with using Google products. But those are the browsers of choice currently: Chrome, Opera, Yandex.
Okay. You also asked what versions of OS will it work with. Maybe I should ask, What versions will it not work with? What OSs have you run into that it just is really stubborn right now?
Linux is sometimes a little bit, it's normally an audio driver issue that you come across on Linux. Yeah. If you have any problem, it's getting the audio drivers to play nicely. Other than that, Windows and Mac, no problems at all. Windows 10 seems to have had a few wobbles again with audio drivers, but generally for IPDTL, we haven't seen any problems. Right back to Windows XP, you can still run IPDTL on Windows XP. The main issue we're seeing at the moment with operating systems is that Mac and Google have stopped playing nicely on older versions of OS X. So on the older versions of OS X or Mac OS, as it's now called, will only run up to Google Chrome version 49. And for that reason, you must use our older version of the site, which is old.ipdtl.com. And you'll know if you're using one of these older versions of OS X, because Chrome will put a message at the top of the screen that says your Google Chrome can't be updated on this version of OS X. But if you're running an old machine like that, then it's about time you bought a new one anyway.
Probably.
Yes. All right. So does access or pricing depend on where you are? And is there any availability in Asia, Africa? I take it if you got an internet connection, you can use it.
Yeah. Our prices haven't changed since we launched IPDTL. It's been $160 all along, or in the UK, £100. For the basic subscription, there's also a euro rate, which off the top of my head is 130 euro. It's changed a bit with the exchange rate keeps changing with various political goings on in recent months. The exchange rate has changed, but what we've made sure with IPDTL is that in dollars, it's always been a fixed price, so you know what you're paying for it. So it's not like you're having to convert from British pounds at all. It's a fixed price in pounds, and it's a fixed price in dollars.
And last question. This is a tough one. This is probably the hardest question of the night, so we might need a little time to answer this. But Maxine Dunn asks, Kevin, I just got to ask, are those CDs in the case behind you? What is this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They are compact discs. I'm one of the only people left in the world who has a library of compact discs. I actually have some vinyl records.
The audience here loves that answer.
Box sets too.
I'm keeping linear audio and moving parts alive in domestic audio technology.
I love it.
Good to know.
My CDs are all in sleeves. I have two DJ cases that are like hold 500 a piece. I've gotten rid of all my DVDs, my Blu-rays, but when it comes to audio, I've kept the CDs. I just can't get rid of them.
Yeah, I said I got rid of all the CDs before we moved out here, but a lot of them are in a box on the shelf over here. So anyway, Kevin Leach, thank you so much for being with us tonight on Voice Over Body Shop and talking about IPDTL. And once again, what's the website to go or to find to get access to it?
It's simple. It's ipdtl.com, or if you just type into Google IPDTL, you'll see it as the top result, minus the commercials at the top.
Outstanding. All righty. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. A great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.
And good night or good morning.
Or good morning. Yes, and have a good night. We'll see you at VO Atlanta. All righty. Okay. We'll be back to wrap things up into a nice, tight little bow right after this.
VOBS is still on? Seriously?
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.tv.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
All right, we're back to close things off here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Next week, we have a really great guest in studio.
Yes, in studio.
In studio. It'll be great to have somebody in studio because they get to breathe on us. as opposed to this cold, sterile thing over the internet, although Zoom is a great... It was amazing there was no latency with Zoom tonight.
And no, Zoom worked beautifully.
Thousands and thousands of miles away.
It did.
And it was like we were in the same room with him, which was great. But Christine Ahler will be with us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who's Christine Ahler? Christine Ahler is a consultant to creatives like myself, people who make a living being creative, as if they are they're voice actors or artists or broadcasters, things like that. She's very good at explaining, and actually she's almost like a creative therapist. She will ask you the right questions and she will get you thinking where you really need to be. I've been working with her. Big help. She's wonderful to talk to. We're going to have a great time talking with her next week, so don't miss that one.
I'm glad to hear she... Is she visiting, or is she in L.A.?
No, she's in Pasadena.
Oh, awesome.
Just up the 101.
Okay, great.
You got to get on the 101 and then get on the 134 and then get off.
I know. Donors, Eric Aragone, Patty Gibbons, Brian Page, George A. Whittam, that's my dad, Amanda Fellows, Thomas Pinto, Shelley Avellino, Trey Mosley, Philip Sapir, and Michael Martin were our donors for the last week. Thank you guys for supporting us and anybody else that wants to do that. There's a button somewhere.
It's up here somewhere, right
thing.
Up there.
I don't know. It's on there somewhere if you want to donate.
All righty. VOBS logo gear.
Yeah, we do have things.
We do have it, because that's also right up there. It's that red banner that's over
the giant
here.
Red button.
The giant, yeah, don't touch the, yeah, do touch the giant red button. Go over to with Cafe Press, and you can get anything with a VOBS logo on it.
Rest assured, you can get
everything.
Almost anything.
Right. Everything. I want to get my VOBS shower curtain. Let's see. What's happening at Edge?
At Edge Studio. Well, the latest at Edge Studio, what we've got going on is I stall because I forgot to click on the link and take me to the spreadsheet. Let's do that right now. You're going to flag us on YouTube if you sing that too so well.
Right. Well, we're in no trouble at all.
They're going to take us down. Well, I mean, the only thing that I care about right now is we're in the middle of the month of Fresh Sound. So if you're interested in getting a fresh start to your studio this year, you can book a half hour session with me where I analyze up to 3 different audio files. We listen to what you're doing, assess it, and we can make adjustments. We can update things. I can give you ideas on how to make improvements. Just make sure that you're feeling completely confident going into 2017. You can get Fresh Sound. Just go to my own website, which is edgestudiotechnology.com. And right on that homepage, there is a girl with some oranges on her head at edgestudiotechnology.com. Click on the link that's for tech. There it is. That's the one.
She has oranges.
Click
on
that, and it'll take you to the Fresh Sound product. You can sign up and get started with that service right away.
Put some Febreze on your audio. So what do you think of this setting here? You know, I mean, this is about as California as you go. It's, the sunset. If you guys want to have something behind us, remember we used to get people's studios back.
That's right, we did. Let's do that again.
Yeah, let's do it again. If you've got a you want to have your picture on the show, like we're in your studio, send it to us at theguys@vobs.tv, and we'll use this. Although I really like the sunset and the palm trees, and it's sort of almost real. And it was a beautiful sunset tonight with the clouds and everything. You were in here trying to fix everything.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
It was gorgeous. Anyway, show logs. You can access the show logs from the VOBS website. That's where you're at right now. It's up there as well with all the other stuff, with the chat room and some of the other things we've got up there. Jack DeGolia is still writing every word we write.
It's all there at VOBS.tv.
That's right. The podcast?
Stitcher Radio, iTunes, just any podcatching program, just type in VOBS.
All right. Hey, if you'd like to be in our studio like these people, wave, everybody.
Blurry Studio Cam.
Blurry Studio Cam. But yeah, you could actually be here in our very studio here in Sherman Oaks, and you could witness the show live. And all you have to do that, if you happen to be in the greater Los Angeles area, write to us again at theguys@vobs.tv and say, hey, I want to be in the audience on next Monday night.
That's right.
Let us know. As long as we know you're coming, we'll unlock the gate. Get rid of the Dobermans.
We'll bring the dogs in.
That's right. Release the hounds.
Release the hounds.
Yes. All righty.
Thank those sponsors, and let's say goodnight.
Oh, okay, good. I'll do that. Harlan Hogan?
VO Extra.
Edge Studio, your
Source
employers.
Elements?
Yes. VO2GoGo and Rehearsal App, which you can get at rehearsal.pro.
And Antland's Killer Demos.
And all these guys are helping us out, so you're getting an uninterrupted stream of this particular show. Otherwise, you'd be seeing car commercials and stuff.
And speaking of uninterrupted stream, we better wrap up quick, if you know what I'm saying. Or there's going to be an uninterrupted stream right here in the studio.
Oh, okay. We're on the whole life challenge.
I've been drinking a lot of water.
Okay. Get to use the official VOBS powder room and broadcast museum, which is something else you get to see if you're in our studio. Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks to Andrew Bushwitz, our fabulous floor producer, Catherine Curdin, our great producer, Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage, and Jack DeGolia for the show notes, and Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. All righty, that's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO
BS.
Night, everybody.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.